Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two. Fingers crossed for no technical difficulties. We've got this.
We can do it.
We've got a lot to talk about this episode. And if you have not listened to part one yet, go listen to that. It's very important that you do. Basically, nothing more important in the world has ever happened prior to this moment ever, except for listening to part one. So go do that. And Kelsey, take it away. What are we going to do now?
We're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
One.
Is it one of the heart couple, the heart patient couple?
No.
Have we actually seen them before? Like when there was a certain... Okay. So this was just like they're establishing that it had happened. We just never saw them.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I just had to get that out of the way. Carrie.
Yes.
Okay.
Carrie Schultz is played by actress Camille Chen. She was in 2 episodes of Station 19, not as Carrie Schultz, and 1 episode of Private Practice.
As Carrie Schultz?
No.
Oh, great. Love that.
So, yes, that was the good times. A lot of people let's in talk this about... for only...
Yeah, that's. I feel bad for you. That seems like a lot of work that you would have done for little payoff.
It was fine.
So let's talk about Carrie and Warren and Mitch and Russ.
Yes, very good job. You remembered them all. Popular girl. That was popular another girl. One that really got
so
me.
So funny.
Yeah.
All right. This is the God Was in a Mood Today storyline.
God was in a mood today. Okay, so they're getting lots of pages first thing of the episode because there were people playing flag football and one of them was struck by lightning and it reverberated off of that person and struck the other 7 people playing. So lots of injuries. Luckily, a lot of them superficial. A couple of them more than that, though. So first of all, if it is thundering, go inside, please.
Unless you don't see lightning, in which case you could stay
outside.
No.
If it is thundering, you go inside.
Ah, but how far away?
If it is just raining, do whatever you want.
How far away does the thunder need to be, really?
You don't know how far the thunder away is because you're not a meteorologist.
I remember seeing a skit where it was like one of those... I will give you $1,000 if you could tell me what a meteorologist studies. And it was like walking around on the street, like quizzing people because Americans are idiots and they don't know things. And one was like, meteors, duh. And yeah, we know it's weather because we're intellectuals. Brain savants, if you will. So it was just funny. Those things
almost get me.
There are
5 different types of ways lightning can strike you.
One is in the butt.
Okay, some it's not.
No, it's not like the five points at which lightning most strikes. Like one is the butt, one is the penis.
I don't
one
think is the you're understanding what
left
I've
nipple.
Said.
And
also,
one is the, ears.
The National Weather Service has this is 5 ways lightning strikes people, and the little like animations that they have with it are really bad. And I don't know if they're like doing it's. It feels like it could be bad as like a bit, or it could be bad because no one knows what they're doing.
Because no one's ever survived lightning before to tell the story.
Well, my dad did have a really good friend who was struck by lightning and did die. So you should go inside when it's thundering. Because he was playing, I want to say Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm.
So it is interesting to me that I don't know if this one was supposed to be a direct strike. Because that is typically the one that causes the most damage and people survive that one the least. And then there's a side flash where it can kind of like hit something else and then pop over to you.
That seems like what we had some of from this episode.
And then there's ground current where it would go through the ground to you. And then there's conduction where it would like if it hit a fence and you were touching the fence.
Ah.
And then there's streamers, which is very rare, but that's where, like, you know how lightning breaks up and
yeah.
looks crazy? Typically, yeah. only one of those hits the ground. So there's always going to be one that has the most force, occasionally more than one. So a streamer is if, like, the really strong one hits the ground and then one of the less ones hits a person. But that's the rarest because typically only one part of the lightning hits the ground. Anyways, if it's thundering and lightning, go inside. Don't just stand under a big tree.
Right,
again,
because the tree is a lightning rod.
The tree and hit you or go through the tree to the ground and get you that way. It's just better to go inside or seek like actual cover like a metal
roof or a metal structure and everyone should hold on to it.
Well, all right. Don't ever listen to anything Carmen says. It's the moral of today's story.
It's the other moral. One is don't die on every hill. The other one is don't listen to Carmen ever, apparently.
Yeah. That is what I do.
So, Russ or Ross?
Russ.
Russ has some arm paralysis and he's got like some topical spidering, which is just electrons. Mitch, don't remember what Mitch had, but he...
Basically the same thing. And probably like a couple of them had like burns on their feet from it.
Yeah, yeah. And some we don't even meet.
Yeah. So some just like superficial stuff like that.
Carrie's got the rupture. Oh, I thought you were going to keep going. Carrie's got the ruptured eardrums, which
is a very common side effect to the lightning strikes.
She is not talking nearly as loud as she should if she had actually ruptured eardrums. I feel like she would be yelling the whole time like that one lady and her daughter.
Do you think I don't know. I feel like ruptured eardrums, you don't necessarily talk louder.
I thought you wouldn't be able to hear it as well. I mean, no, you would, I think because you wouldn't know your volume control and you would not hear what people are talking back to you because they're also not raising their volume, but I could be wrong.
I just feel like I just had heard it hurts.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But then Warren got the direct strike and that dude's real fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Warren had the worst. And so it like he has burns on his neck. And then also he has a bowel perforation, which I guess we're meant to assume is also from being struck by lightning, which they don't specify. But why not? I guess like if you're having that much electricity like coursing through your system, it could
rupture your bowel.
Apart.
Yeah.
Also, if you get struck by lightning, it can stop your heart, but that is the kind of heart stop where it can be restarted. So definitely call 911 if someone gets struck by lightning, but do CPR or do whatever they tell you to do on the phone because they know better than we do.
Yeah. Hopefully your phones aren't fried from the electricity.
Yeah, that's true. Also, not joking, but like to kind of reiterate what I was saying about men, males are 4 times more likely to be struck by lightning than females. Based like statistically.
Because they need to finish playing Ultimate Frisbee.
4 times. Like they're like, we don't need to go inside. I guess. That's my assumption. That's not what this says.
As a man, that's a fair assumption, I think. I do remember so playing baseball my whole life. It's like as soon as lightning is seen, that's when everyone's like, all right, game's over.
Yeah. I mean, at Disney, once there was lightning within the certain radius, they stopped running outdoor rides.
Yeah, but Disney also has a gigantic full-service weather meteorology yeah. department.
That's right. Like they have to, like the weather has to be, or the weather has to be in the area. The lightning strike has to be within a certain radius and it has to actually make contact with the ground, because if it's just heat lightning, that heat lightning doesn't go to the ground. You just like see it in the sky.
Right.
So that like doesn't actually impact operations for that.
Yeah.
So yes, as of 2019, it has been estimated that lightning injuries occur about 240,000 times per year, with 2,400 deaths. So it's like 10%, right?
Yeah, it's almost exactly 10%.
Which is wild. So yeah, and that I don't think that's just the U.S. That's the world.
Makes sense.
So yeah. The most common age group is 20 to 45 years old. Again, people who are in that like...
Think they're invincible. Inside.
Yeah, like just go inside. Yeah. So I saw when I was Googling this, someone there, you know how there are certain slogans like stop, drop, and roll, you know,
yes.
like that's really
yes.
effective. What is it? There's a litter one. Something about not littering.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
That's a good one. They're trying to start one.
I don't know.
That's when thunder roars, go indoors, which is catchy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the litter one.
There definitely is one for littering.
I think it's
don't
just
be a quitter.
Yeah.
Don't litter.
I thought it was don't be a quitter, don't be a spitter.
Do that ever again.
Wrap your whacker before you attack.
Stop!
Her. Okay. I actually heard that one from the Hulk Hogan TV show.
Oh my God. That was so upsetting. I apologize on Carmen's behalf.
Because I want everyone to have safe, consensual, non-pregnant rearing sex, if that's what they want.
I'm shaking my head. Anyways. So, yes.
Everyone loves Carrie. Everyone loves Carrie, but she only has her eyes on one man, one gooby man named Warren.
And she says that she doesn't think that Russ and Mitch actually have feelings for her. She thinks, well, first she just says that they're overexcited because they were all struck by lightning. And then, which... kind of goes back to how you reacted with the Cali and Arizona post-shooting decision.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's just the adrenaline. It's just yeah. near-death experience.
Near-death experience.
And then she says, you guys just think you are in love with me because I'm a girl who's like down to play flag football. Like, so you like, that is cool. And it makes you think that I'm cool, but that doesn't mean you're in love with me. And she says she's been in love with Warren forever. And I love that for her. And we love love.
Yeah. We love
and
love.
Mitch can honestly fuck off because Mitch is obviously very shallow.
Yeah.
Warren's
well, when
bald. Maybe he can get a hairpiece. He's like in surgery because he was vomiting blood. And you're saying he can maybe get a hairpiece? She obviously yeah. doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. It is. So that scene leading up to that. So Mitch goes in and he's like, I fucking love you. And Carrie's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Which honestly, smooth.
I have
done shit like that where I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you when someone like said something uncomfy. I have absolutely pretended to be asleep when men have told me things I didn't care to hear.
Oh, interesting.
So
luckily Michael doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, I'm not talking about him. This is pre
Michael. Oh, okay.
So,
goodness.
Yeah. And then,
the look on Mark's
honestly,
face,
though, fully
when,
support.
Yeah, when Mitch is proposing his love and Mark is like, what
oh,
is
yeah,
actually
I wrote that,
happening?
I wrote Mark's face in parentheses because he made the best face.
It's so
he was like,
funny.
I love you.
And he's like, disgust.
Which is so funny because he's the whole episode wants to confess his love to someone he's not with.
Yeah, but he doesn't like other people doing it.
Well, not in that moment for sure.
Yeah.
He's like, I am trying to do work.
Yeah. And they're all fighting over her. They're Mitch is like, I just try to do it. And they're like, Warren's like, oh, she asked about me. And Russ is like, guys, it doesn't matter because she's mine. I own her as my property.
Yeah, that was not cute. Also, Meredith, are you in junior high? Meredith's not taking anyone's shit this episode, and I love it.
No, no. Oh, goodness. We also get a fun little scene there where Lexi's like, they're like, it was a one in a million thing. And Lexi's like, well, actually, it's like one in like 6,200.
Okay. Yes. Which Meredith and Mark act as though this is a concerning behavior. And Lexi absolutely did shit like this before the shooting.
Yes.
She this has a photographic being... memory. She yeah. has the information. She would have responded that way whether or not she had been had a gun pointed at her.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And they're like, just stop. Everyone stop asking me if I'm okay. Yeah. Everyone just calm down. She's yeah. great.
Well, here's the thing. When she gets mad and yells at everybody, I feel like Meredith is asking her if she's okay is more valid. And also the way that she asks it isn't like, oh, are you okay? Like dancing around. She's like, hey, are you okay? I know like that was shitty of them to like, it's annoying that they're always staring at us. Now, later on when Mark asks it, it does. He's not meaning it to sound condescending, but it sounds condescending. Yeah. So I understand why she's getting frustrated. But the first time with Meredith, I don't think it's that big a deal. But I also understand it can be annoying when people are constantly asking you over and over if you're okay.
Yeah.
Well, especially then, if you are.
Going back to that scene with the Derek and Weber and Mark, and he's like, you better keep an eye on her. And Mark's like, I'm trying. And we even get a scene.
It's coming from a really good place, but like.
Yeah. And we even get that established when Derek does when we have that scene when they're all like watching apparently Christina being a Wheel of Fortune savant.
Incredible. Love that backstory for her.
Yeah. Alex, what the fuck is a Pimpernel? So funny. And so she sees the TV footage, which we're led to believe is a camera. Cameras were not that good in 2010. That is clearly a plant video, folks.
That was from the birds.
That was from the pigeons. Birds, the government drones.
Yeah. So they see that video. Lexi realizes that Warren actually hit Carrie really hard before he was struck by lightning. So her injury was not just a residual temporary thing, and they needed to figure out what it was. And it was, in fact, an epidural hematoma. And I don't know if you know this, but this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it!
So, I wanted to give everyone a little backstory on what an epidural hematoma is. Because epidural is also what they give you when you give birth. And for other reasons as well, but I've only had them in the birthing scenario. So, an epidural hematoma, also referred to as an EDH, occurs when blood accumulates between the skull and the dura mater, the thick membrane that covers the brain, which we talked about last week. They typically occur when a skull fracture tears an underlying blood vessel. So when she was hit and fell really, really hard, either the really hard hit or her head hitting the ground could have caused that to occur. And this is from UCLA Health also, by the way. And then I also have some from Cleveland Clinic, which we also know to be reputable from our time on Grey's Anatomy as doctors. So it's a collection of blood between the skull and the dura mater. I think typically that's when they do the burr holes because it releases that pressure and can let the blood out. But they also sometimes do burr holes if there's like swelling of the brain. So I could be wrong. If bleeding occurs within the spine, it's a spinal epidural hematoma. So they do happen other places. There are also extradural hematomas, epidural hemorrhage, and intracranial hematomas. And those are all results from traumatic brain injury.
All of them sound terrible.
The survival rate for epidural hematomas is pretty good. The death is only the mortality rate is only about 15%, so the survival rate is about 85%. Which is pretty good. They again typically are more commonly seen in young people because those are the ones romping around causing a ruckus and slamming their heads and bodies into things. So they are rare but they're rare before the age of 2 or after the age of 60. And they're really common in car and motorcycle and athletic. Those are typically like sense. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, athletic accidents.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the diagnosis they have to do with the CTs or MRIs. And they with this one, they had to do, it was very, very small. And they, I think because of the lightning, they weren't like looking maybe super like in the specific place where this one was, because they kind of thought it was just going to be residual from the lightning, because that's what other things were going on. And so that's like, it was very lucky that Lexi realized it and they could go back in with like a very thorough like look to find this specific one. And they have to do a craniotomy and hematoma evacuation. So removing a piece of the skull, removing the blood clot, stopping any continuous bleeding, and putting the skull back on and securing it with teeny tiny screws. Oh, and then the other one is potentially burr holes to drain the blood.
Which we saw Izzy do in the field in the ferry boat incident.
With just a regular drill.
Yep.
And they'll put like a drain in to kind of let it continue draining, and then they'll go back in and replace the skull.
Yeah.
So epidural hematomas.
Or EDH, like the concert that everyone goes to.
That's EDM.
That was the joke.
I've been to those, though.
So we get the scene, which is very, very sweet, where Derek is with Lexi, and she's like, up to this point, she's like, no one's going to let me do a surgery ever again because they think I'm going to carve my initials into these fucking patients, like a serial crazy person.
That would be a crazy thing to do.
Yes. And so they're in the surgery and Lexi's like, thank you for not being afraid of me. And Derek's like, no one is afraid of you, but we are afraid for you. And
yeah,
that's
which is
fair.
An important distinction to make.
And I'm kind of annoyed at this, the way the episode ends, because in this scene, it's like very cheery, bright, like kind of like romantic style music. Like Lexi's like, oh, I see the light. Mark loves me. And when Derek's like, you know, some people show it by keeping you and being overbearing and keeping you close. And some people like to lock you in jail to get peed on by a meth head. So it's all coming from the same spot. And I think to myself in this moment, we're going to get a nice scene with Lexi and Mark in this episode, aren't we? We don't.
We don't. We get a nice scene with Callie and Mark about Mark and Lexi, but unfortunately it does not come to fruition.
Can you give us...
Well, the good news is Carrie's okay.
Yes.
And the good news is Warren's okay. Carrie's healing. They bring Warren in. She tells him she loves him. And he's like, can you push me close so I can hold her hand? And they hold hands. And it's very nice. And I believe that they get married and stay in love forever and have millions of babies if that's what they want. And that's play lots of flag football. Or no more flag football because it feels dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's in the editor's notes. Is the motivation behind this scene is they get married and have a million babies. Warren does have a good surgery. And Bailey yells at him in the middle of the surgery. And April is like, what? I'm sorry, you're just listing things that are scary? I like that Bailey is basically keeping him under house arrest until he gets the fucking bullet out.
Alex.
Yeah, Alex. Yes. What did I say? Did I say not Alex?
You said Warren, but it's okay.
I meant Alex. I'm so sorry. No, they were operating on Warren.
They were operating on Warren, yes. I knew where you were at. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, yeah.
I can follow you.
Thank you. So you want to talk about the Callian?
That was kind of the last of the lightning people.
Yeah, they're really not much, a ton there. It's they are conduits for other lightning.
They're conduits for electricity.
Electricity
and plot.
And plot, yeah. Do you want to give us?
What did you want?
Hold on.
The Mark and Lexi of it.
No. When they're in the scene, I forgot, I wrote this note, and Mitch and Russ are like making fun of Warren, and Carrie's like, you guys just don't get it. And then she starts to cry, And Mitch is like, oh no, we made her cry. And Lexi's like, no, you guys, lightning struck and everything changed and she's sad about it. And Carrie looks at her and she's like, nah, bitch, that ain't me. I'm just worried about Warren.
Just sad about Warren. Can you please find out about like what's going on with him?
Fucking Rafflecopter, dude. That's so funny.
Yeah, that one was really funny.
And then she just is like, oh, okay. Lexi. She takes her gloves off.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. So sorry. Read the room correctly and incorrectly at the same time.
Yeah, that was just so funny to me.
Yeah, that was really funny. Okay, so obviously this whole time Mark is pressed about Lexi. Again, coming from a good place, Lexi is reading it differently than his intending because I don't think he's doing a good job.
He's being kind of intense and not in a good way.
Yeah, and I think he hasn't maybe fully processed the fact that he had to check her into psych against her will. Yeah. And so this is kind of the residual of him dealing with that, is basically like he's kind of stuck in that moment. And unfortunately, him being stuck in that moment is keeping her stuck in that moment, which is the point she makes at the end. But he goes up to Callie pretty early on in the episode and is like, hey, how long after someone gets out of the nut house until I can propose? And Callie's like, you need to not
wait forever. Like, literally just wait forever. All. Don't ever do it.
And then he goes later after Carrie's like, what was I worried about? Messing up the flag football team? That's a dumb reason. It's fucking flag football. And so Mark goes to Callie and he's like, why would you tell me to wait? Like, tomorrow isn't guaranteed. I don't want to spend my life waiting and hoping for this thing when I can just do it now. And Callie says, we skip steps, like we move too fast and it pushes people away. So we have to we have to calm down and like let them come with us, which is a good point. But then he says like the sweetest thing. Oh my God, let me get it up. Because I love when he says, if she's going through her worst, then I want to go through it with her. And Callie says, okay, tell her that. But like, you have to say it exactly like that. Like those words clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, she makes me happier than anything I've ever known. Ugh! And if I can have a part in making her happy again, that's all I want to do. I am in love with this man.
It's a great scene.
Man is
it's a great scene with a great
being.
Man.
Yet again, Mark is the best man in the show. This two episodes so far, Mark's the best man of season 7.
That's a long shot. That's true. It's a wide margin.
It's not even close to anyone else. At this point.
I like that scene a lot because it's showing that Mark is, he is thinking these things through.
Yeah.
I don't think that Mark is dealing with the PTSD of the gun Gary Clark situation, but I do think that he is still hasn't really, maybe he needs to spend some time talking to Perkins or Dr. Wyatt about the checking Lexi in. Yes, that makes sense. But, you do still see that there's clearly this affection for her. And I'm reminded of the scene where he's like, I know you have a boyfriend. I'm asking if you want a fucking husband, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is bold. That's a bold thing to say. And honestly, like, I love
good.
It.
Worth it. He knows his worth.
I feel like, again, to reiterate your point is like, yes, he's not doing this out of like trauma. He was feeling this way before the shooter. He just really wants, and like because she's having a hard time, he wants to ask, like he just wants to be there for her. And like, yeah, it's not up to him. It is ultimately up to her. And the way that he is trying to do it, unfortunately, is pushing her further away.
Yeah.
So we get the scene at the end where after he tells Callie that that's what he wants, she's like, okay, then go tell her that. But like, you know, just say those exact words. And he goes to Lexi and he says, I need to talk to you. And she says, no, you don't. You don't have to be here for me. I went through a rough patch and you helped me and I appreciate that. But I am moving out of it and you won't let me. You're treating me like I'm a basket case and everyone is watching you and they're believing you. I had a good day today. I saved a girl today. I did that. I am a good doctor and I don't deserve for people to think that I am anything less than that. So could you please just leave me alone? Ouch. It actually broke my heart when he said, you got it. Because again, he's like, I just want to be there for her to help her. And she's essentially saying the thing that you can do for me is leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so he's sticking to his word and being like, okay, if that's what you need me to do, then I'll do that. And it broke my heart when he said, you got it. And I knew that he was going to, because I remember this happening, but it still was very sad for me to watch.
I think I'm rooting for two relationships in this show the most right now. There's two relationships specifically.
It is Mark and Lexi and Callie in Arizona.
I'm really not rooting for Callie in Arizona.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because of how upset you got at the end of last season about that. So I'm trying to guess the other one. Richard and Adele.
Yeah, always Richard and Adele. That woman has gone through enough of his bullshit. He just needs to be a good husband to her.
Is it Derek and Meredith?
I am rooting for Derek and Meredith right now. I'm really in a good place with them. To be clear, also, like, I still really like Callie and Arizona's characters. I'm still having a hard time about the forced baby thing, making these choices in haste after a traumatic situation. That's where my beef is, specifically. Right. We remove that from the situation. Love them. Big fan. But yeah, Mark and Lexi, I'm very much invested in their will they, won't they right now. Yeah. And I never felt that way with the Derek and Meredith, really, because I kind of hated that relationship very early on, especially when you throw the Addison thing in there. I was more angry than I was invested. I was invested in the Alex and Izzy kind of will they, won't they. Now they won't. Wasn't really invested in the George and Callie relationship. That one was weird, mostly because I liked Callie way more than I liked George.
Yeah.
But this is the relationship that is currently has my will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel interest peaked. So I'm very much invested in this relationship. So I really hope that Lexi or Mark, or especially Mark, doesn't do anything and like goes and just fucks someone else in the interim. And Lexi happens to see, and then she's like, oh, man, I'm so glad I left that guy. And it just reaffirms, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So do we want to, any final thoughts on that before we take a quick break for the final stretch with Christina and Owen and everything else?
No, I think we can take our little breaksy break.
All right. We'll be back after a message from these regional sponsors. And we are back. And hopefully, did you see the message where Anna said that she had like an ad for a furniture store or something like that? And it was sounded like it was recorded on their phone.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't get any of those anywhere. But
I think if it makes you laugh, then I want that for you.
That's fair. All right. Heart patient with Christina. You want to take this away, Kelsey?
Really quick. Let's do Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of ties in. I did like the moment where he asks Meredith if Lexi's okay, because I do think he has concern for her, but he feels guilty about like the way everything went down because he doesn't know how to deal with human.
It's confirmed that he ended it.
Well, she said you ended it, and he said it ends the way it always does, which, again, I really feel like he just essentially ghosted the relationship. There's no confirmation on this. I'm truly just in my head with this one, but
that's fair.
He says it ends the way it always does. Like, I fall up with the girl and then she goes crazy. And Meredith is like, so sorry. You're not that special. Like, bad things happen to you. Izzy wasn't crazy. Lexi had a crazy thing happen to her. She reacted pretty normally. And Rebecca was crazy. But again, it was because of the facial reconstruction surgery and the baby. So it's not about you.
Man, I remember, gosh, that storyline where she like didn't even have a face for like three episodes. And she was just like,
when she came back, you were not pleased.
No, I still think that she could come back at any moment.
She didn't die, so.
She didn't die. We never saw a body. The only person really in this show I'm convinced will not come back is Reed.
Because you saw that happen.
And Charles. Reed and Charles both physically have died. George did die, but we never were really able to confirm that it was actually him. He just scribbled 007. Maybe he meant to say, I'm 00 positive blood.
No, because they found the mole shaped like Texas.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, anyways, so Alex has the bullet still in him. What?
Remember that scene where they're like, no, it's not him. And then they walk in and they're like, no, it was him. Why did we put, why did we all go through this 30 seconds of emotional journey?
Yeah, I hated that. Like, just accept it.
I forgot
just
about
confirm
that.
Confirm it was him.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
So basically, Alex has the bullet. Bailey runs into him and he's like, she's like, is that thing still in you? And he goes, yeah, whatever. It's not a big deal. And she goes, well, no, it must hurt. And he goes, no, it doesn't hurt. She's like, does it hurt when I punch you in it?
Because it clearly needs to come out if it hurts when I punch
and he's
you.
He's like, yes, that hurt. And she's like, take it out or you can't operate. And so
she means it. She sticks to her guns. Her
she's like, you can watch me operate, but you cannot go in an operating room because you're not lead free. And so back and forth about it. Finally, she pages him to the OR and she's like, I will carry that day around with me for the rest of my life. We don't need more physical reminders about it because we have like the emotional reminder that it happened. Please. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to bully you anymore. I am asking you to please just take your shirt off and let me take the bullet out of you. And he does.
And he just, yeah, he says, yes, ma'am. And we kind of get, you know, I really like this scene at the end with them where he's getting operated on. He's clearly awake. It must have just been a local anesthetic.
Yeah, because it's just at the top of, like, yeah. I think it's just, like, the top layer of skin. It's not have to go through, like, muscle or anything.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, Charles, you know, in retrospect, he was a good dude. Like, he was funny. Reed was like kind of messed up, but she wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't get to walk away. And he has this survivor's guilt. And yeah. Survivor's
and
guilt
says
is
the same
so
thing.
Real.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know why we lived, but all we can do is do our best and you know, live.
Yeah.
We just have to find a way to be grateful. And then she pulls out the bullet and Alex goes, son of a bitch. And Bailey goes, agreed.
And we get the nice artistic cinematic shot where she just drops the bullet into the pan.
Yep.
And Alex is lead free and now double cleared for surgery.
So yeah, that was like a quick little thing that gave us a really good scene. And now Bailey has like all of the interns have officially been operated on. Because Christina has the ectopic pregnancy. Yep. Meredith has to give the liver away. George dies. Izzy has cancer. Alex has the bullet pulled out of him. So they have all officially been operated on in the OR. Technically, Alex was kind of operated on in a conference room in the season 6 finale, but now he's been OR operated on.
What about Lexi?
Well, she wasn't an OG intern.
Okay. You're right. I see what you're saying.
Magic.
And yeah, now right. It's just Mackle.
Again, I wouldn't, like, I love Lexi, but she doesn't get to be included in it.
Okay, but then now she's just Mac.
Yes, it's Mac.
Or Ackham.
Or Cam.
Cam!
Why are you saying it weird every time?
I'm saying it exactly. I'm talking at the exact same tonation. Like, when you say magic and I yell, Cam! It's the same thing. I'm saying, I didn't even change my tone of voice. People wouldn't even know. Mackem.
I hate you.
Mackle.
Okay. All right. So now we can get into Christina.
All right.
So at the end of last episode, you said that they were going to like annul their marriage. And then you said they were going to get divorced by the end of season 7.
Yeah, I
there
really thought that I was
a part of this episode where you probably were like, I'm right. They're getting divorced today.
I was like, I'm a fucking genius. And then I thought, okay, no, I got more time. I got more time. It's all good.
So essentially, Christina and Owen wake up together and she remembers that they got married and she's like, fuck, immediate regret, huge mistake.
And Owen's like, it's all right. I have the solve. I'm going to wash your hair because it's on my bucket list.
Bar.
And let's have sex while we do it. That would be great.
Yeah. So, kind of a different episode for Christina. She's all over the place, as is her right. She is, again, in the midst of processing her trauma, and not processing it in any way at the same time. So Owen gives her the granola bar, washes her hair. They go to work. He's like, don't worry, everything's fine. We're just like, we're going to live the same life. We're just also married. Which honestly is kind of how I felt in a little bit when I got married. Like, yeah. Things for us, things didn't change. Like, I was thrilled. I was happy. But I didn't, like, feel so different. And, like, my whole life was so different every time just walking around and everything, whatever.
You mean every time you woke up in the morning and walked down the street, walking on sunshine wasn't just the soundtrack of your life?
I'm singing in the rain.
That's not the song I was referencing, but that's okay.
I know, but that was the song I was referencing.
Ah, so you were just
in a... It rains a lot in Florida.
That's fair.
They call it the sunshine state, but that's misleading.
It's the rainy state.
And so, you know, Christina's like, I'm going to do this surgery. And Meredith says, oh, you're not cleared. And she goes, well, Owen's going to take care of it. I'm just letting him take care of everything. I'm a passenger princess of my life now.
I'm in my bride era.
Which is not, again,
not bad.
How I felt as a bride. And again, reiterating, I don't feel that Owen is doing anything maliciously. I don't feel like he married Christina so that he can turn her into a robot. I feel like he is trying to help her through the PTSD as she helped him through his. And he's like, right. This is what I can do, is like, I can just help get her through each moment of the day.
Right.
And so there's this really cool surgery. It's like a big deal, super rare. This woman has been back multiple times to be seen by Burke. There's this super awkward scene where they're like, oh my gosh, didn't you marry Burke? Was it amazing? And they're like, what? This
and it so seems unhealthy. Like in that moment, Teddy finds out that she was engaged to Burke before.
Yeah, it did seem that way.
And Jackson is like popcorn eating in the background.
I love Jackson. And so... they are going to do this surgery. It's, again, a big deal. They're going to take this woman's heart out and replace the bad parts of it with, what's it called from a cow? Pericardium.
Pericardium from a bovine.
Pig or cow. So they go and they bully Richard into clearing Christina. They're like, everyone else, like, it's normal, but, like, she needs to get, like, that's the only way she's going to find herself again. Turns out there's a reason she hasn't been cleared yet. Perkins was probably right.
Yeah.
Do that.
I hate in these scenes where Owen has been around for, like, 5 minutes still in my brain. Mm-hmm. And he goes, this is what she needs, Richard. No, he is chief to you. You can't just float around chain of command and your commanding officer, and then when it's convenient for you, first name basis, your boss. Owen. That one really annoyed me.
That's fair. Honestly, you're not... I see where you're coming from. I see the point you're making. So they're
she was in.
Manipulating the situation to get her cleared because they think... And I understand the thought process of being like, well, you know, Christina, again, like, loves the OR, loves to operate. This is what brings her joy. This is what makes her feel happy. This will right everything that is wrong in her world. But she kind of seems a little off. Like, she's definitely not as eager as she would have been previously in a surgery like this. But she's also doesn't seem super, like, afraid. She just is kind of not her normal self that we would
She's
see.
Like floating
and,
through
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, and Owen says, you know, the anticipation, like the fear of going back in is worse than actually doing it. Oh, and sometimes that's true for people. Sometimes, like, the anticipation of something in your head is way worse than the actual thing. For me, that's vomiting. In my head, vomiting is horrendous, and I hate doing it so much. I yeah. do it a lot when I am pregnant, unfortunately, so I had... both times a lot of vomiting. Outside of that, I really don't vomit very much, so that was a bummer for me. But again, I can recognize that the buildup of it in my head is way worse than the actual action of it. But I do hate it, and I'm not comparing those two things.
Correct.
But I'm just giving an example that is off the top of my head, something that I build up to be way worse every single time. Also the dentist, although I do really hate the dentist.
Yeah, that's fair. Dentist, I think, is a big one a lot of people hate.
Yeah. So they get her back in there and it goes poorly.
It seemed like it was going fine to start. And even before that, Jackson's like, ah, I'm so glad to have you here. I was nervous. And she's like, is this going to be a thing where you're a little bitch boy and you got to tell me about it? And we talk about it and you scare your scaredy cat feelings. And then Jackson's like, ah, I love that you were like you were a meanie to me because now I know you're back.
That's how I know you're back.
Yeah. So, and they, when she took the heart out and she was walking it to that tub of ice, I was sure we were going to have a Meredith dropping the kidney repeat. Instead, we have Jackson knocking shit over, and it immediately threw her into a PTSD flashback of Gary Clark, which is fair.
Yeah, for sure.
April's getting these little shiny moments. Because we actually didn't talk about that scene where
we're like narking on Meredith earlier.
Yeah, and Bailey's like, "All right, I need a surgeon." Lexi says, me. And Alex is like, no, fuck you. And Bailey says, no, fuck you. And Meredith's like, oh, I can do it. And April runs up and goes, oh, but you can't, right? Because you haven't been cleared. And that's the first time we get like a, April, if we're going to be friends, I need you to knock your shit off.
You got to not be the most annoying person in every single room you walk into.
And then
she goes, sorry, the habit.
And this scene, so I love that Meredith is running to Christina. It's so like this scene, and I want you to talk through it because this is so fucking good. But right before it, when April's like, you can't be in here, but we are friends now, so it's okay.
Good girl.
Ugh. Okay. Maybe they are. This was the moment where I wrote, they might be able to turn the page for me on April. They could, they could salvage her reputation for me.
Yeah.
But the scene with Meredith and Christina is dope. Tell us all about it.
So Christina is in the surgery. Everything's going fine. They're a little behind schedule because they have a very tight window of time that they can like have this woman's heart out of her body, which feels normal. Like feels correct.
4 hours, I think, is the limit.
Yeah. So they're at 2 hours, 42 minutes, and they're behind. And so she sends Christina to go trim the pericardium by 3 centimeters because it's bigger than what she needs. And so Teddy asks Jackson to do something, and Jackson's over it with the patient with Owen. So he turns around to come over to where Teddy is with the heart, and he knocks over a tray, obviously a loud noise. The tray is metal, all the instruments are metal, loud clanging noise. Like also just I imagine a surgery would be like a kind of quiet and like tense place already, especially this one that's like a more intense surgery, and so everyone's already on edge. That happens. Everyone kind of shakes everyone a little bit, and Teddy's like, is everyone okay? Owen says it's all right, just a tray. And they kind of get back into it, and she's like, oh, the cannula is dislodged, Avery, I need suction, Owen, tell me what's going on. And then they realize, they're like, Christina, can you come help? And they realize Christina isn't visible, like they're not where she was. And then Owen looks over and sees her feet because she's hit the deck, which is a valid reaction.
In that moment, I was nervous that something had flung and hurt her, or she got hit and she was like stabbed and she was going to be on the ground bleeding.
Right. That would be wild.
Yeah.
That might be too Shonda even for Shonda. And so essentially, they're trying to move. Christina like is just basically all she can do is like breathe, and it's too much for her. She's overwhelmed. She's really right back in that moment of being in the OR, hearing the gun go off because Gary Clark shot Owen, because fuck Gary Clark. And they're like, Avery, call down to the pharmacy and get another piece of tissue. And Owen's like, no, Christina, just get up and go. It'll like, you know, ground you or whatever. And Jackson's like, I'm just gonna go get it, because obviously there's a time crunch on it, so we can't really wait, just like hope that Owen can talk Christina out of this. So Meredith runs down, which makes sense. Oh, you can't be in here, but we're friends now, so I'll shut up, good girl. Meredith runs in, lays down next to Christina, and she's like, I can't be in here. And Meredith says, okay, let's go. And Christina says, I can't feel anything. And Christina's like, I know, let's go. And Christina's like, no, I cannot move. I can't feel my body. Like, she's so out of this moment that she can't, like, she physically is unable to control, and like there's like a mental disconnect between her reality. And I feel like that's a very, this is a panic attack. I understand that panic attacks for a long time were portrayed one singular way. They look very different for a lot of people. I know that we have a lot of listeners who have struggled with anxiety and depression, and I'm sure have experienced panic attacks, and they all probably are different for every one of us. I've been dealing with them for a very long time as well. I was having them for like years and I didn't even know they were panic attacks, because the media tells you that a panic attack looks like not being able to breathe and sobbing.
Like, and just a heart attack.
And if
which
it's
is
not
also
that,
portrayed
then you're
one
not
way.
Having one. And so I was in therapy for a while before I was like describing them. And the therapist was like, yeah, that's a panic attack. I was like, oh, interesting. I was having them every single night for the past like 2.5 years. And they were like, oh, maybe medication can help with that. And it has. So again, this is for sure, I think, a combination of like a panic attack and a PTSD specific episode. And so Meredith, again, knows Christina very well, and she recognizes, she's like, okay, well, what, how can I, like, again, bring her back, ground her in this reality moment? So she takes her glove off and she like presses on her hand and she says, do you feel that? And Christina nods and she's like, okay, then you're okay. We will go when you're ready. And so I'm sure she continues to do that. And it's like, there are exercises you can do when you're having a panic attack, anxiety attack, those kinds of things that kind of bring you back. It's like, name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, like it's different things and different like types of breathing you can do. And so it kind of just helps recenter your central nervous system into like where you are. And that's kind of what Meredith is doing to the best of her abilities in that moment. And I really like this scene. Obviously, like, their connection is unmatched. The shots of like both of them laying on the floor looking at each other, it's just like they'll go to whatever lengths they need to go to for each other. And again, they're soulmates. So I love it.
Yeah, when she had her head on the ground just right next to her, the angling of the camera was really, really great. Like, everything about that scene was really well done, well acted. When she takes the glove off and she said, here I am, just touch me, like, can you feel that? And then the scene after, where they're walking out of the surgery and the husband, he's like, oh wow, things are done, and Christina's like, I'm so sorry, and then walks away. And he goes from, oh my gosh, and Meredith's like, no, it's okay. Not that kind of sorry, different kind of sorry.
And so then Meredith and Christina are in the lounge. Owen comes in. Christina says, is she dead? No, she's fine. She's going to be fine. Like, we took care of it. Don't worry about it. And so Meredith leaves to give them a moment. And Christina says, you were wrong. You were wrong about everything. And Owen says, I know. I'm sorry. And Owen says, what happened in the OR? Like, we wouldn't have seen that coming. Well, no shit. But you also wouldn't have seen it coming when that a shooter came into the hospital. So,
right.
It's also like, if she has every right to still be in that state of her PTSD where she is going to react like that. If that is the case, that is why she's not cleared for surgery, because she needs to be in a better mental state where she can like pull herself out of that. Because what if Meredith hadn't been in the gallery? Like, who's going to help her? So that is why she wasn't cleared. God dang it.
Yeah.
And she says, I don't feel anything. I can't be here. I can't be in there. I don't know like what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. And if I can't do it, like, what am I supposed to do? And Owen's like, well, you're supposed to be here with me and you can just be here. And she says, I'm sorry. And gives him the ring, which is when I'm sure Carmen thought, woohoo, called it, divorce.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I'm the best. I'm so fucking smart. And then she's at the house. Derek and Meredith are there.
Yeah, Derek and Meredith get home and Christina's there. Which I was like I was kind of, when she was at the apartment alone, Christina, she was very panicked. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't kind of go back into that mindset. Because it would have made sense that she would also be afraid because she's still alone. But regardless, she's waiting for them to get home. They do. Derek leaves them because he understands. And Christina says, 50% of marriages end in divorce, so between the two of us, you and McDreamy should be fine. And then she said, I thought it would fix me. And Meredith said, well, that's not why he married you. And what I like about this is, again, we have seen Meredith have hesitations around this relationship before, and she is now moving past those, and we really appreciate it. We love to see it.
Right.
And so in this moment, we get a really great thing of her defending Owen. And I love, she talks Christina into it, and she's like, everyone has, like, there are rough patches in marriages, and you stay and you get through it, and there will be better patches. Like, yours just is starting out in the bad part. And Christina's like, you're right, I'll stay. And then Owen comes and gives a great speech about how Christina was there through his PTSD, and he wants to be there through hers, and like, it's great, we can do this. And Christina says, let's go home. And Meredith goes, I had already fixed her before you came, but that was a good speech. And I love that. It's so funny.
That scene really is very... Do you have the transcript on Hunt's speech? Because it is a really good speech. And even Meredith is like, yeah, I fixed her. But like, good speech?
Yeah. Feel nothing. All right, you didn't feel nothing today. You felt scared. You were terrified. And you felt anger. You were angry at me. And after what you've been through, you're allowed. That's what you should be feeling. I know. Because when I was there, I felt all those things, and I took it out on you, and you were patient and you were kind, and you stayed through it all because you love me. You love me, so you can be scared with me or pissed at me, or I don't care, because I'm going to stay through it all. I'm not going anywhere, Christina. I'm not going anywhere without you. And then she says, let's go home. I had already fixed her before you came, but it was a nice speech.
So we funny. Also need to point out that it was a fucking another Mumford & Sons song.
Yes, I was going to say that too.
What are they? There are other bands out.
It's
like,
2010, Carmen. All okay, right, Mumford is
that's fair.
Ruling
that's fair.
Everything.
That's fair. Mumford rules. Big
all
fan
right,
of the Mumford.
That is. Did you have anything else on the Christina storyline? Because we are going to have to kind of rush through our predictions.
No, I just like that. I like that Meredith is in a spot where she has finally gotten to like, okay, listen, Hunt's a good dude. Like, even last week, she's like, he's perfect, you know?
Yeah. And she's maintaining that. Even yeah. though Owen made mistakes because they were from a good spot, she's giving him the benefit of the doubt. And we appreciate that. Good on Meredith.
Yeah.
Let's rate this.
You go first.
I think it's a 4.2.
Yeah, just a four.
It's
flat
good.
Four for
it's
me.
Better than a yeah. bit better than a regular Grays. Funny little bits. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of felt, knowing what was going to happen in this episode and then watching it, I was like, they were kind of all over the place with the Christina thing, because I don't know, even knowing what was coming, I was like, I guess maybe they're writing it to be more of a surprise that she's not okay, which to me doesn't make sense because obviously she's not okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was just kind of where I was at. And then it's just a heartbreak with the whole Mark and Lexi thing, and I loved the Bailey and Alex scene. So yeah, for me, it's a 4.2. So we'll make a couple of quick predictions before we get out. Go ahead for Christina and Owen first.
There, I think the fact that they were able to get through the first 24 hours of the marriage is leading me to believe that maybe they succeed. Maybe they don't get divorced. Maybe they stay together forever.
Okay. Derek and Meredith.
I'm really happy with them right now. I don't want to predict anything bad, but I don't know how their relationship is going to end, but I know their relationship is going to have to end because Meredith is going to stay on the show and Derek isn't. So I just don't know.
And Lexi and Mark.
They will be together before the end of the season.
Okay.
They will be together. I am in it. I'm invested in it, and I believe it. I'm rooting for it.
And they are together forever, like they get married or
maybe they leave the show together. They get married okay. and leave the show. They'll pull an Anne and Anne Perkins
oh, yeah.
from Parks and Rec. They'll get married and they'll leave together.
Anne and Chris.
Chris.
And Callie in Arizona.
They're not gonna make it. They're not gonna stay together. I don't know what's going to break. They'll be broken up before the season is over.
Okay.
Also, I do want to just one last shout out from Christina's quotes around Lexi. $50 says she'll be back in the cuckoo's house
lunch.
By lunch. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Again, funny ones this episode. Funny little snippets. All right. Well, I think that's it. Did you have any other predictions you needed to make on anybody?
No, I feel good with that. Alex, I think Alex does make a run to get Lexi back before she ultimately ends up with Mark, though.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And how's about, thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
Sorry that this one was a little weird. I don't know if it was weird for you guys, but I had to stop in the middle and have a fit for like 45 minutes because my computer stopped working. So that was a bummer. Hopefully it still sounds good. So if it doesn't, my apologies. Thank you guys for listening, and make sure you're sharing us still, and make sure you're telling everybody ever in the world about us and leaving a rating and review. If you haven't done that already, please, you can always tag us on Instagram and we can share that as well. And we just love hearing from you. So you can follow us everywhere, Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember,
no spoilies. Don't think about it. Keep me in ignorance and bliss with all of these love relationships that are going on. We appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.